What if everything you've ever heard about God and money was wrong? If you're tired of feeling guilty about your finances and want to know what God really says, stay with me. That's today on Living on the Edge.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and today we continue our series, Sacred Rhythms, Cultivating a Lifestyle That Makes Room for God. Did you know that how we handle money is a sacred rhythm? It's a big deal to us and to God. Not because He needs our money, but because it reveals the boundaries we put on our connection to Him. It's an indicator that points to where our trust lies, in Him or in ourselves. Chip's team teaching with his son Ryan, who's a pastor in the Bay Area. So now with part two of his message, Cultivating a Heart of Dependency, here's our guest teacher, Ryan Ingram.
I want to spend the rest of our time getting really practical about this rhythm of generosity and how we actually put it in place. Because the reality is most of us embrace sporadic generosity. And the funny part about it is we feel generous. Most Americans would call themselves generous, but statistically, 44.8%, yes, that's very precise, of Americans do not give any of their money away. Most of us think we're generous because we remember a time when we did, you know, give someone $10. And Jesus is saying, this is a sacred rhythm. This is something to put into practice. And he says, when you give to the needy, in the Jewish world and under their context, giving and these offerings happened after a systematic set allotted amount was given before that. It's called the tithe. And you've probably heard about it on Sundays, but I've never taught about it. I've taught a lot about generosity, but I want to talk a little bit for us and get practical on how do we live this out in a way that forms Christ in us in understanding, like, what is the tithe and understanding what the purpose is behind all of this. Because this is the process for us to become a not only just a generous person, but get our lives in rhythm with God. A few weeks ago, I was trying to have this conversation with my daughter, not because we're talking about it. My daughter's like an entrepreneur, man. She's amazing. This girl, she's got a babysitting gig that's like killing it. I mean, she's got a ton of money in the bank. I was asking her, like, what are you planning to do? I love her answer. You know what she's saving for? College. 14 years old. I'm like, yes. She's so focused on all that. And so I'm like working with her, like going, okay, so, you know, when I was a kid, my parents had this process to train and teach us, and had three jars, and it was like give, save, spend, and you give 10% to God, 10% to, you know, savings, and then 80% you get a live off, and had all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, Ella, you're at the stage where you need to learn to really trust God with your money. And we're talking about tithing. And most of you know, like, tithing has something to do, like, with giving your money away. And we'll talk a little bit more specifically. And she's like, I know. It's just like we're supposed to give our money to God, right? And here's what I realized right in that moment. And especially with my kids. And this is what I'm working really hard on right now. I've spent a lot of time in their early years helping them know what God has to say. And we're in a season to teach them why God said it. Because when you devoid or disconnect the why from the what, it becomes like just a rote action with no deep meaning or significance. So let me tell you why God says, man, embrace this rhythm of generosity and specifically the rhythm of tithing. The big why is that tithing actually trains this habit, our hearts, to trust God. You were not naturally born generous. You are not naturally born giving. One of your first words as a kid, universally in America, so I don't know how it is in other countries, is the word mine. You have to teach generosity. It doesn't come simply naturally. And so, tithing is this training mechanism that God has for us to trust Him, that we know that we can trust Him with all of our lives. If you can't trust Him with your money, how could you trust Him with your life? And so he says this a little bit later on in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in. Why? Why? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever you value and treasure in this life has your heart. Another way to say it, wherever your money goes, there your heart follows. Like, your bank account is one of the most spiritual documents in your life. It shows what you value and dream of and long for. And there's this invisible string connected to your finances and to your heart. And if you want a heart change in a specific area, like if you wanted to have a heart for the needy, just begin to give to a homeless shelter. Both your time and your money, you're like, I don't even care about that. But the minute you begin to give to it, your heart will shift for it. You'd say it in a different way, Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted much, and whoever is dishonest with little will also be dishonest with much. So, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Did you notice that money is the little thing to God? It's like just the little testing area. We do this with our kids of like, man, we want to give you greater responsibility as they're little. We want to give you greater freedom. And so we're going to trust you here. And as you prove yourself trustworthy, we get to give you more because we know you're going to be able to be faithful with that. He goes on. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. God's the God of the universe. He doesn't need or want your money. God says, I want your heart. And the chief competitor of your heart isn't the devil. It's your stuff. God's not down on you if you have stuff, by the way. Some, you've kind of lived with that. Man, I got some really nice stuff, and I always have to like defer, you know, going on a really nice vacation. Well, we paid points with it. I had this really nice car. Got a deal. You know, that's like the church way. It's so weird. God is not down on you if you got nice stuff. He just doesn't want your nice stuff to have you. And this process of habitually, systematically entrusting our finances to Him is what gives and aligns our heart with Him. That's why he says tithing trains our heart to trust Him. Well, what is the tithe? The tithe literally means a tenth. In Leviticus 27:30, it says, a tithe or a tenth of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Saying that a tenth, here's what he's saying, a tenth of all that you have is God's, and so it's not actually generous when you tithe, it's just simply returning. It's like it's already His. And so you're giving back to God 10% of what you make. That's what a tithe is. It's returning to Him. Now for some, you're like, well, Ingram, that's Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, Jesus in Matthew 23:23 actually reinforces the tithe there and brings that up. And you can read a bunch of different passages. Irenaeus, one of our church fathers from 130 AD to 202, writes this. The Jews were constrained to a regular payment of tithes, giving this 10%. Christians who have liberty assign all their possessions to the Lord, bestowing freely not the lesser portions of their property, since they have the hope of greater things. See, the Christian perspective is one of steward and not entitled. Like, God, all that I have has been entrusted by you. And so everything here I don't own. I'm simply a steward. And so I'm going to ask you, how would you like me to spend my money? And in fact, my life, how would you like me to spend my time and my energy? I am a steward and all that I have is yours. And what's going to remind me is this regularly giving back to you that trains my heart that, yes, that's right. You are so trustworthy. Your word is true. I can take those next steps with you. Did you know that only 2.7% of Americans give 10% of their income or more? 97% of Americans give less than 10%, actually far less than that. Did you know that 13.9% give less than 2% away? As mentioned earlier, 44.8% give nothing away. And yet somehow we think we're generous. There's this incredible book called The Paradox of Generosity. It's written by a sociologist from Notre Dame. I'll actually end with a quote from it. But it's fascinating, this 10% mark, because this is hard for us. In his book, he notes, the Americans who give away money, and more specifically, those who give away at least 10% of their income, are happier than those who do not. Could it be that your trade-off isn't a good trade-off reality? This rhythm of tithing and generosity. Tithing trains our heart to trust Him. Tithe literally means a tenth. And so there is this idea of percentage giving. I'm going to choose a percent. And for some, you're so underwater, you're like, 10% I can't do. Start with a percent. Any percent. For some, you need to start with 10%. And then you begin to give proportionally what upon that. And. If you're new, or if you're hearing this and you're just going, Ingram, I don't trust you. And that's okay. Give somewhere else. Give to Compassion International, World Vision, Charity Water. I'll speak in a second why I believe we should give to the church, but I don't want to miss this. It is too important for your heart and relationship with Jesus to not do this because you think I have something in part of it. That's always the challenge of talking about this. Tithe, take a tenth. Now, how do we do this? We give to God first. First. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the, what's it say? First fruits. Not second fruits. Not third fruits. First fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats, all of us got vats, will brim over with new wine. God's antidote for entitlement and greed and pathway to experiencing financial peace, which is different than financial freedom and better, is found in the principle of first fruits. When we give to God first, not last. It does not take faith to give to God last or out of what's left over. Where you go, well, you know what? Here's the normative way that we do giving. Normative way is consume what I make. Save if I can. Give if there's any left over. In fact, the average American lives on 110% of their income. Tough to give there. 90% of Americans buy things they can't afford. 60% of Americans don't pay off their credit card each month. Wow, that's exorbitant percentage that they're paying. 80% of college students graduate college with credit card debt. And Jesus is saying, reverse it and flip it. It will change your life. Give to God first. Say, okay, I'm going to choose this percentage, 10%. It's yours already. I'm just returning. I'm actually not being generous at this moment. I'm just returning back to you. This is an act of faith and obedience, trusting that you'll provide. Then I'm going to save and then live on the rest. And for some, you're talking to me, I can't do that. I got to tell you, I'm doing it on a pastor's salary. I think you can too as well. But let me say this, you can't afford not to. You can't. The life of Christ being formed in you actually has so much to do with what you value and prioritize. And your finances and how you spend your money reveal what you prioritize, what you value, and your affections. This is so important that God actually invites us to test him. You know, it's the only place in all of Scripture where he says, test me on this. Try me. Like, I mean, this is like God, God of the universe. Like, I double dog dare you. A heavenly father who knows what's best and sees that his kids, like, it's really hard. And this is like something that we're holding like this and we got a tight grip on. If we have a tight grip on it, then it has a tight grip on us. And he's saying, I want to help you learn to trust me, so test me. Malachi 3:10, it says, bring the whole tithe, not part of it, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord, and see if I'll not throw up the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Let me define blessing real quick. Robert Moore says this, blessing is having supernatural power working for you. A blessed person may or may not be wealthy by the world's standards, but they enjoy a quality of life most billionaires would envy. See, when we write the word bless, we immediately go, God's going to, you know, I'm going to give $10, he'll give me $1,000. That's not how it works. That's turning God from a heavenly father to a genie. Jesus would say it this way, give and it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it'll be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The Apostle Paul would say it this way, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what he's decided in his heart to give. Notice, there is a predecision in your heart. I have decided this. It shouldn't be this like, man, I feel oughted and guilted and manipulated. Notice, we already took offering. We're not taking a second special offering. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. There should be no sense of manipulation. This is a private decision between you and God. And then he goes on, for God loves a cheerful giver. Generous people, they're amazing to be around, aren't they? And when I've been around incredibly generous people, you know what I hear from them? I can't believe I get to be a part of this. Like, I can't believe this is so much fun to be able to support and give here and to help them. Like, wow, I get to be a part of that. They get to experience the blessing. And God is able to bless you abundantly. There is our word again. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, not all that you want, all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Notice that the blessing of God is so that you can abound in good work. The paradox of generosity. Christian Smith and Hillary Davidson say this. Their conclusion to their study says, if Americans want to become happier, healthier people who live with greater purpose, suffer less depression, enjoy more personal growth, one way they might better accomplish that is to learn to be more generous. The scientific evidence shows clearly that more generous people are doing significantly better in their lives in many important ways. The rhythm of generosity begins with this practice of tithe. And when you begin to practice this, you get to see God at work.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. If you're just joining us, Chip and his son Ryan will be back in a minute to talk more about this sacred rhythm of tithing. Ryan's message, Cultivating a Heart of Dependency, is from our series, Sacred Rhythms. If the pressures of life are taking their toll, what you'll learn in Sacred Rhythms provides the wise counsel you may be missing. In Sacred Rhythms, you'll discover how to develop a few of the key spiritual practices that can release the floodgates of relationship with God. To order your copy of Sacred Rhythms or to send a set to a friend, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. You'll find that the CDs are discounted and the MP3s are absolutely free. Or if you prefer to order over the phone, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Now, here's Chip with a quick thought.
We'll be right back in just a minute with my son to talk about today's message. But you know, he talked about the tithe. And I know people get a little bit nervous, and we're going to give you some real insight, I hope, in just a minute. But you know, the real issue behind the tithe is trust. And if you don't know God, you can't trust Him. And so what we've done is we've created an online video course to help you hear God's voice through Scripture. I mean, this is a very practical way. It's not very long, and it's easy to understand to help you learn to trust the God who's saying to you, I want you to trust me with your life and your money and your future, but it's hard to do that if you don't hear His voice.
Well, this online video course, How to Hear God's Voice in Scripture, really is a great resource. No matter how long you've been reading the Bible, what Chip shares will take your ability to discern God's voice and take your faith to a whole new level. You can do these 5 video sessions on your own time at your own pace. As your relationship with God deepens, your confidence will increase, and you'll actually begin to look forward to spending time with Him. Just go online to livingontheedge.org and take your next step toward hearing God speak to you through His Word. Well, now, here are Chip and Ryan with a final application.
As we close today's program, Ryan, I want to ask you something. You know, when you told your story about your daughter Ella, it really captivated my attention. And I think that's an example of where so many of us find ourselves.
Yeah, I think what happens is in my life, in our lives, is we get clear on the what's, but disconnect it from the heart of God and the whys. And so then we're operating out of duty and not out of this incredible life-giving relationship with Him. And it just brought a fresh awareness, not only for my life, but then for how I want to pass it on to my kids.
What did Ella say when you talked to her about, hey, it's not about just oughts and shoulds and stuff like that?
Well, it wasn't this magical moment.
You mean she didn't say, oh, thank you, Dad. Yeah. Everything's great now.
Yeah. And I think that's part of what happens is when we tell stories up front and we listen to them, we think, you know, praying around the dinner table, all the kids are, you know, loving it or reading the Bible together or singing worship songs together. But it's that process. And yeah. I literally just unpacked what we taught here to her, and then we're putting it into practice. And it's only in putting it into practice that you can experience the truths of being generous.
Wow. And what I would say, being a little bit older, for sure, is I love what you said about around the table, because there were times when you all were very, very young and, you know, I was trying to pass these things on and you'd roll your eyes, or I could tell no one really wants to be at the table. But, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, as the scripture says, little by little, your kids do catch a lot more, even when they act like they don't. Any final word for maybe a parent or grandparent out there saying, hey, I want my kids to understand that money isn't about, you know, oughts and shoulds of giving to God, but it really is about cultivating a heart for God.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that you teach a lot is more's caught than taught. Mm-hmm. And so it's first practicing it personally.
Yeah.
And then it's actually teaching it.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the missing things that I've walked with this generation on, is they were never taught how to steward God's money. And so they're coming out of college with immense amount of credit card debt and not knowing, you know, even how to make a budget. And so just taking the simple steps of here's the basics of finances and here's why God says it's so important.
Thanks, Ryan. And hey, moms and dads and grandparents, maybe you want to get this message and have them listen to it and do a little teaching.
Well, thanks, Chip. Well, the best way to forward this message would be with the Chip Ingram app. Just go to Google Play or the App Store and download the free Chip Ingram app. Once you've got it, just tap the share icon on this message and you're good to go. Let them know you're thinking about them and then be sure to follow up. Well, I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow when we continue our series, Sacred Rhythms. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.